flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The snow is over. That continues to move to the east, but we're not done with the snow. It looks like we could see 1 to 3 overnight Sunday night into Monday morning here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and it looks like a cold week. Right now, windy 28. Once again, the radar is showing that snow moving well to the east of the Twin Cities. Still snowing up in the Hinckley area over toward Rice Lake, down to Red Wing, Rochester, even back to, say, the Albert Lee and Austin area. But for the most part, the cities in the clear. Right now, let's go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us, and stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I'm great, Steve. I'm actually bunkered in today. We've got a pretty good snowstorm going on up in the northwest, and that's too bad because the fishing this week is really good. I mean, we had 2 really good consistent days of 40 degrees. It was beautiful. The fish were snapping. Now we got this front coming in, and yeah, we're kind of suffering through this right now, and some snow, tons of wind, and you know, so just trying to kind of tough out and wait till it gets better.
Yeah, here we are in February already, and you know, you think about it, it goes so quick to the, you know, end of the ice fishing season. You know, there aren't a lot of weekends left.
Well, yeah, there is. It's just we're kind of suffering through the worst part of winter right now, but really the fishing is still holding up very well. And I'm sort of transitioned now to deeper water. A lot of the fish now are relating to the deepest water in a lake, deep basins, deep depressions. And this week the fishing has been really good in that 30-foot range. And typically these fish are suspended maybe halfway up, which is kind of typical at this time of the year. And there's kind of 2 different kinds of depressions or 2 different kind of basins. One is where they go and they rest and they loaf and they sit around and they don't do anything. And they're very difficult to catch because they're not actively feeding. Other basins, there's insects and larvae and zooplankton coming up out of the mud and rising up to the surface. And that's where the active fish are, picking off those bait fish and worms and everything that's, you know, emerging from that mud. And they're active fish and really catchable fish. So right now, it's really transitioned into this deeper type of pattern. And my shallow patterns I've been on for 6 or 7 weeks now are kind of waning. So now, you know, for people that are out, you know, doing their thing, start looking towards those deep basins, the deepest water in the lake that you're fishing, 30 feet, 40 feet, could be 25 feet, but they've really made that transition. And I think, too, it's an oxygen thing. It's a comfort thing. They're at a level there where there's good oxygen and they're comfortable there. That's why they're suspended. So that's kind of how things are kind of changing.
Yeah, another thing I know you wanted to bring up this week is electronics. And certainly leaps and bounds every year. There's a tremendous amount of competition. There's a lot of gear, even for ice anglers, to take a look at.
Well, you know, Steve, the newest transition now is people are moving to these dual-screen graphs that we use in the summer. It's kind of funny. We're using a summer technique on the ice. And so what that means is you have a split screen now. Instead of just plain flasher, now you have a flasher on the left and you have a graph on the right. So that graph is working just like it does in the summer when you're in your boat. Fish will be marked by lines that go, you know, right across horizontally across the bottom, and you can see your jig, you can see your line, and it gives you a different perspective of really what's going on under the ice. I wouldn't say that it's going to help you catch more fish. I'm not saying that. But it is much more entertaining. It's really interesting to kind of put both of those together and watch them at the same time. It's really, you know, makes the time on the ice, you know, a lot more fun. And that is kind of what people are going to now, are these split screens. So it's definitely a step up from just the plain flasher, you know, that we've been using for decades. So, again, it's technology, you know, starting, you know, to increase and, you know, get much more intense. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, and you'd mentioned the snow coming in. It is getting to the point, and it's been unusually dry again this winter, not a lot of snow here in the cities. And we've talked about it now for a couple of years. We could probably use some snow and some snowpack because I think we're going to be going into spring really dry in these parts.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. You know, the big phenomenon this year, Steve, without the snow, is that people are driving on the lakes everywhere. I'm starting to see hard houses and big wheel houses in areas on these lakes that I've never seen before because people can drive anywhere they want to go. And so that's complicating things a little bit. It's congesting some areas that normally don't have any activity on it. But it sounds like we're supposed to get in North Country, Northwest, maybe 6 or 8 inches here coming up in a week. And that'll change everything. I think a lot of people are going to get their houses off the lakes. And, you know, we don't do a lot of plowing up here, you know, in the Northwest. It's kind of you're on your own. And that could change things, too. But it's really, you know, a phenomenon after the last 3 or 4 years of very poor ice that people are driving everywhere. And it's really changed the landscape and, you know, put a lot of pressure on spots that normally don't have any. But, you know, that's the way it is, so we'll have to see if that changes.
All right. Well, you're going to hunker down a little bit and then get back at it. Once again, it looks like another cool down. And as you alluded to, there's still plenty of winter left. It is only February 1. It's not like we're talking March 1 or we did get that warm spell, though, this week. It was amazing. It really was. Wow. For January, this is pretty good.
Well, we've had such good ice, Steve. You know, it's just been an ideal season. Not a lot of heaves, not a lot of cracks. Everything's pretty intact and good 22, 23 inches. So it's, you know, as good as it could possibly be. So this week, I'm actually looking forward to speaking to the Rice County Sportsman's Group down in St. Cloud on Wednesday. It's an 85th anniversary of their group with a few hundred people that are truly amazing and do a lot of things for outdoors. So I'm very excited about being invited there and looking forward to that. So kudos to that Rice County people.
Well, that sounds good, Steve, and we look forward to visiting with you in a week.
Sounds good, and let's hope the weather kind of turns around here, Steve, so we can get back at it.
Yeah, that's right. It looks like it'll be at least a couple of storms impacting the area, whether you live in the cities or up north. Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Thanks so much. Have a great week. And by the way, we want to remind you that our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday afternoon. We have an hour-long show And, of course, that's Rob Dreisein from the Outdoor News. Rob, with a lot of great guests and an hour of great information for those who love the outdoors between 5 and 6 Sunday here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Quick break. We'll come back. No football this weekend. I mean, yeah, there's the Pro Bowl stuff. No game. College football is over. We await the Super Bowl a week from Sunday. And what are you going to do with all this extra time? How are you going to spend your Sunday with no football? We'll get into that coming up on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
4:19 on a Saturday, and a lot going on in sports, except football. And this is the time of year when reality starts to sink in for football fans. College football, you had the championship game, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Buckeyes win the title, but there was still plenty of pro football to fill our weekends. And then championship Sunday, and Philly steamrolled Washington. I still think the Commanders, though, with the quarterback situation, and I'm going to admit right now, Lindsey Brown, I got my predictions all wrong, but I was kind of going with my heart.
Sure.
I strictly wanted a Commanders-Bills Super Bowl. I wanted a rematch. Mm-hmm. That Buffalo-Washington Super Bowl at the Metrodome way back when. We talked about that. Great memories. It was so long ago, Frank Sinatra was alive and performing Met in Bloomington.
Who you've seen in person when he was still, which is an even wilder thing to me. That's a true resume type of show.
It was in the story around it, and I didn't tell you the whole story because we were talking about the football games, but now we have no football this weekend, so I can tell you the whole story. At the time, and I was living and working in Sioux Falls. And it was my wife's hometown, and I was doing Augustana women's games on the radio. I was doing high school sports, and then I was doing Augustana women's basketball.
The big leagues, as they would say.
The men's game were on another radio station. Well, Augustana was at the time, Mankato State. It's now Minnesota State, as we all know. And they had a road game, but we had tickets to Sinatra that night at the Met in Bloomington. So the plan is that we would drive. I wouldn't ride with the team. Typically on the road, I would go with the team on the bus and, mm-hmm. you know, so on and so forth. If we went up to Fargo and Grand Forks, I was on the road or what have you. But this is one where I was going to drive separate. So the plan was drive to Mankato, do the game. And if the game moved right along, because it was women first, then the men, mm-hmm. and hopefully we got a good, quick game, it would tie him out, where we would still be able to drive, short drive from Mankato, up to the Met Center in Bloomington, and catch a show. So I get to Mankato, set up the gear, call the game. Don't remember if the Mavericks or the Vikings won. It's not important. Packed up the gear real quick. I'm out of here. We get into the parking lot, and it's snowing. It had started snowing.
How bad is the snow? And are we talking like with wind? How big are the flakes? I need the full condition report.
It started snowing pretty hard.
Okay.
Thinking to myself, all right, the trip up 169 could be an arduous journey. But it's like we've got a chance to see the chairman of the board, mm-hmm. a legend. I mean, Frank Sinatra, that's Frank Sinatra, Elvis, the Beatles. They're all kind of in that upper echelon of all-time musical greats. You got Michael Jackson. You know, these are superstars. And I wasn't super into Frank Sinatra, but it was a chance to see him Super Bowl weekend at the Met Center in Bloomington. And by the way, it was a show in the round, so it was a stage in the middle of the Met Center. Anyway, we start making the trip, and it's slow going. Instead of being able to drive a little over the speed limit, we're driving about 40 miles an hour.
Oh.
Crawling through the snow, up 169. We go through St. Peter. We get to Le Sueur. We climb the hill up onto the flat. And then it's blowing a little bit more as you kind of, that exit by Gaylord toward Belle Plaine and up through Jordan, etc. And then finally we're inching our way to the Met Center in Bloomington. And we know we're late. We know we're late to the show. So we get to the parking lot at the Met. And it's packed. The arena's packed. It's Sinatra's underway. And we get there late. We pay to get into the lot. We're parked way out on the edge. And then in the snow and the wind, we're trudging from the edge of the parking lot at the Met Center in Bloomington all the way to get into the building. And we got there in time to see, like, the last six songs.
No.
I'm not kidding you. They brought us to our seats. We sat down. And while we were bummed, we sat down in our seats. Sinatra's on stage. And I can't say the word I used at the time on the radio, but basically it was, that's Frank Sinatra.
Right. Starts with the same letter, right? And you enjoy it? Even though you were only there for a short amount of time, I got to think after a journey like that, all the planning and then obviously just the level of show that is, you probably a handful of minutes that you would put up there as the top, 100 in your life if you had to pick all the minutes?
It really was, because it was a chance to see a legend. Now, I didn't have tickets to the big game that weekend. I ended up watching the game at my mom and dad's house, and then we had to head back to South Dakota to work, etc. There is that thing called work. But I will say, what we went through to see Frank at the Met Super Bowl weekend was well worth it. And it was such a bummer. It's like, why did it have to snow? And we had this inkling that it was going to snow and it might be a challenge to get there. I'm just happy we got there and our old Ford Tempo got us there in one piece. And by the way, we had by far and away the junkiest car in the parking lot.
So you were testing it.
Lindsay, I kid you not, every Lincoln and Cadillac and Mercedes within 150 miles of the cities was in that parking lot.
Yeah.
So our old Ford Tempo, we're kind of like, okay, I'm glad we got here late.
Southdale was empty that night. So let's just say that. No wonder you had to walk so damn far. And I forgot earlier in the story, you said that you were in Sioux Falls. That's your wife's original hometown. Were you guys married at this point? Were you still dating?
Yeah, no.
Okay, the commitment. This wasn't the thing that maybe said, he's the one to her. You know, just anything
no,
for Frank.
No. It's not like I proposed at the Frank Sinatra concert.
Well, maybe not propose, but maybe it's the time that makes you realize, you know what? I could do this pretty much every day forever.
Yeah, no, we were already married. That That ship had already sailed.
So at least you weren't slacking. That is a true marriage. It is not about the wedding. It is about the marriage, Steve. That's what I've been told.
Well, it was. It's still, whenever I think about the Super Bowl and Super Bowl weekend, and I didn't even get to the game. You know, I didn't even have tickets into the dome to see Washington beat Buffalo. But anyway, back to what we had talked about going into Championship Sunday a week ago at this very point in time. Wanted the Commanders and Bills to win. They didn't get it done. The Commanders maybe not ready, but I still think they're going to be a force in the NFC going forward. Jaden Daniels was still terrific. Just too many turnovers, too many mistakes. Didn't finish early in the game. And the Eagles played really well. And by the way, Saquon Barkley, we did talk about him. Wow.
Yeah, just wow. He's only a few yards short, I believe, from the postseason record. And I think he went and said in his press earlier this week that the record doesn't matter if they don't win the big ring. But, yeah, it seemed the Eagles were more of a team of destiny. And it's going to be contentious in that NFC East over these next few years. But between that and then Josh Allen and his heartbreaking once again. What I tell you, Steve, what I tell you about him turning into, and it's not like his fault. Like if you see his stats in the postseason, especially all the games that he's played against Patrick Mahomes, he's playing damn near perfect, if not right on there. And so it just, I saw so much chatter online after the game. He needs to go to a team in the NFC to have a realistic chance, blah, 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 blah. That was a transition year for the Buffalo Bills, if you really want to talk about it, if you really want to go back to the beginning of the season, and it's still the same answer, but man, I feel bad for the dude.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of an offseason for him, though, too.
Yeah, he was just phenomenal all year. You had Lamar Jackson, you know, MVP-type year. He had Josh Allen, the MVP-type year. But I came away from that game on Sunday night only drawing one conclusion, and I don't gamble on sports as kind of a rule, and whether or not they finally pass sports gambling in the state doesn't impact me. It's not going to change my attitude. I just don't want to go there as a human being. I think it could be a bad thing for me, so I just, as a rule, don't do it.
Love it.
But what I did learn again on Sunday, never, ever, ever bet against Patrick Mahomes. It is extraordinary. Now, Brady's still the greatest quarterback in NFL history. The Super Bowl rings, what he did, and then ultimately went on and proved it with Tampa Bay late in his career that he could win without Bill Belichick. But Mahomes, what can you say about this guy? They were still the top seed in the AFC, and people were like, I don't know about Kansas City.
Smoke and mirrors, right? They haven't played anybody.
And it's kind of like, would it surprise you if 1 week from tomorrow he wins another ring and Kansas City is the world champ?
No.
Wouldn't surprise me one iota.
And it just seems like even when he's not at his best, he finds a way to make one more play. And that's when we talk about, like, who's the best? Who's most talented? Who's whatever? As a former athlete myself, I have seen some really talented people get very little playing time. Get very little playing time because you know what they don't do? In the moments that matter most, they're either not able to execute or at the very least, they're not able to do the right thing for that situation. He finds a way to elevate and execute in those moments. He sees somebody like Josh Allen go down there and score. And when we talk about that 13 seconds a few years ago, he just eats it for lunch. It probably just gets a rise out of him. And then he also had the new dad surge. If I were a betting person, which I'm not because I, too, want to hold on to my humanity like you, Steve, I would almost always put something down on any person experiencing a game right after a birth event in their family. Because I just think there's an extra oomph to it. I know it's like his third kid that he's named after a medal. But, you know, he's incredible, and it's really annoying. They've officially moved into the territory. I don't want to see you anymore. Go away.
Yeah. And I know there's a boredom factor, but there's also then a level of greatness where, and I was one of those where it's like, oh, I'm not so sure about it. It's a Super Bowl. What else am I going to do on a Sunday night in February? I'm going to watch a big game, and then just like everybody else, get on social media and rip the halftime performer. I think that's kind of something that everybody feels like they need to do, whether they're good or not. you know, they just take a lot of lumps.
It's never enough. And same to greatness, though, too, Steve, just to kind of step on your point a little bit. We're bored with greatness. Greatness isn't enough anymore, I think.
Yeah, and that's really a shame because, once again, Mahomes' performance in the AFC Championship, and we've seen it over and over. And there were times this year, super lucky to beat the Las Vegas Raiders this year. No, they didn't deserve to win the game. But in fairness, all these playoff teams probably won a game or two along the way. You can think about the Vikings. Did they deserve to win the game over Jacksonville? So to get to the playoffs along the way, you win a game or two, you probably shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And Travis Kelce, long in the tooth. Maybe not his best stuff, but he is another guy when they need a play, and you alluded to it.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to make that play that helps. And is he the dominant guy? Is he the go-to guy? But it would surprise you if he had, you know, a 5-6 catch, 80-yard game, and a touchdown in the Super Bowl. It wouldn't surprise me a bit.
At all. He's kind of like whack-a-mole, I think. You never know where he's going to pop up, and it's never really a rhyme or a reason. There has to be some randomizer in the hardware, but he's going to find a way. He's going to get his in these playoffs. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is his last run, too. I'm not sure what his contract situation is, but I wonder what kind of push to the not just confidence, but I guess your hunger going for that three-peat right. is right now. Because they've been talking about this since, you know, the streamers were flying in Las Vegas last year when they won the Super Bowl. Like, this has been a thing they've been working towards. To be on the precipice of that, to finally be in the national anthem era of here's your chance for three, they got to be able to manage some of the – it's not nerves. I just think you're getting a little bit too much into it. But they've right. been there before so many times, Steve. So it's just – I expect nerves of steel.
Yeah. And especially with Mahomes leading the way, and then you got a great coach in Andy Reid. Can't count out what Philly's got in Saquon Barkley, but I'm still a little lost. 8 days till the final football game of the year, and I have to admit, even though I wanted the Bills and Commanders, I'm looking forward to it. Quick break. Looking forward to visiting with Andy Grater, who covers the Golden Gophers, football, men's hoops, also covers the Loons. Andy Grater will join us. Tough loss at the Barn earlier today for the Golden Gopher men to one win in the Big Ten Washington. Well, now they have two. We'll get News Talk, 830-WCCO. Tough day at the Barn earlier today. The Golden Gopher men, they were on a tear. They had won three games, beating Michigan, Iowa, and Oregon. And then they had a huge road test at Michigan State. Tom Izzo, coach of Spartans, to a big win over the Golden Gophers. They come back, take on a team that had one win in the Big Ten today in the Washington Huskies, and the Huskies prevailed. Andy Grater covering for the Pioneer Press, and Andy joins us online. Andy, it's been a while. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, good to visit with you. I've heard you on the huddle with Pete Najarian and Dave yeah. Schwartz. Good work on Sunday mornings. That's always fun.
Yeah, I like those guys. I like talking with Pete. Obviously, he's got the perspective as a former Gopher player, so those guys like chopping it up and breaking down games the next day. It was fun to do that a few times in the fall.
Yeah, no doubt. Pete, just a legend in the financial world. We get him on the huddle for a couple hours on Sunday. It's really cool. And, of course, his dad, Dr. John Najarian, is certainly yeah. a legend in his own right, and what he did in his phenomenal career, very impressive. Hey, Andy, let's start with that game at the Barn. They had that three-game winning streak that I talked about, then really a tough task in East Lansing against Michigan State. But to come home today, this was the game yeah. they needed.
Yeah, I think it was a dud. I don't think there's any real other way to put it, right? I think when you are playing at home on Saturdays in the last couple of weeks. They've got two ranked wins, so to follow that up with losing to the last-place team in the conference, hurts the momentum that they had built and shows that they are one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. When you go against a Washington team, like you said, that has one conference win, and I think there's a little bit of a caveat to it as well, is that, you know, the Gophers and Washington have been playing more difficult schedules in the first half of the Big Ten. I think Ken Pom had Washington as the
part of strength of schedule, and I think the Gophers were either two or three right behind them. So they play tough teams, like you mentioned, right? Obviously going on the road, Michigan State on Tuesday as well, and really getting their clock cleaned in that one. Yeah, I think it really hurts any sort of opportunity that you think about a major turnaround for this season.
Yeah, and I know that you look at the numbers, and I heard a post-game comment today from Ben Johnson. I mean, they got beat on the boards, and that, yeah. You know, that's really difficult when you get beat on the boards the way they did today.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think we've got enough of a sample size to see that their additions in the transfer portal weren't good enough, right? And Parker Fox is dealing with a back injury. He was limited to 7 minutes today. I think Frank Mitchell is typically a pretty good rebounder, but I don't think he provides enough in other departments. Trey Edmonds, he played a little bit early, but then they didn't go back to him again late. And I think you kind of saw the separation that a team like Washington has with the length that they have, right? Great Odukwu is making $2 million in NIL money this year.
Ooh.
That's more than what the Gophers are making as an entire team. And I think you saw the difference in length and size, and it started to wear down the Gophers as the game went on.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk, big picture, about where this program stands. And there's a lot of moving parts, Andy. You cover this. You cover the football team. You're very in tune with the challenges of where college sports are today, and the Gophers have work to do. There's no doubt.
I think this is a great example, a great segue, right? I think when you lose a guy like Pharrell Payne in the transfer portal and you're not able to replace him with the guys at the same level that he was, I think you see that over the course of a Big Ten season that separates them from the rest of their competitors, right? I think you have Dawson Garcia, who was an absolute beast in the second half. I think he had 23 points, you know, 10 rebounds, really took over the game. And he's legit all Big Ten player of the year caliber player, but he just doesn't have enough around him, right? The Gophers do not have enough shot makers. They definitely don't have enough shot creators. There's a lot of guys on this roster outside of Mike Mitchell and a little bit of Isaac Osama and guys that can create their own shot that aren't named Dawson Garcia. And I think when Dawson has foul trouble early on in the first half and he's only able to play 10 minutes and he sits, and that's when Washington separates and has a 10-point halftime lead, and then the Gophers are consistently trying to claw that back when they don't have enough talent on the court in certain aspects. And when it comes to NIL money and spending that they have on the roster, you see that separation, and I think it was indicative today.
Yeah, and you almost shudder to think about had Dawson Garcia gone elsewhere. He had those opportunities. He stayed at home, where this team would be.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, and that's what, you know, I wrote about early on this year, is kind of the, you know, kind of sacrifice that he's made, because he had offers of over $1 million at a number of blue blood programs. So he could have left, but I think he wanted to stay and create a legacy here at Minnesota. And I think you see it in what he provides on the court and off the court. You know, I wrote a story that published today about his efforts that the Gopher Gopher basketball program has with Team Impact, which is kind of a make-a-wish type of program. And the Gophers got paired with a kid in Rochester, a cancer fighter, and Dawson Garcia went above and beyond to create a relationship with the kid. He lived in Rochester. He drove down there in September after he had a relapse with his cancer fight, Josh Hansen, and spent time with him and created a real connection. So last week, when they knocked Oregon, and Dawson has an amazing game, and it could have been all about him and the upset that the Gophers had against Oregon, which is a huge highlight in this season. He wanted to bring up Josh Hansen and the impact that he made on him and the program. And it was really touching to kind of be able to tell the story of how he fought cancer and really connected with the Gophers. And, you know, you saw that before the game today with the moment of silence that they had for Josh. You saw Ben Johnson kind of tear up. It was kind of a really important aspect of who Dawson is to stick around and what the program is doing. While the success hasn't been on the court, they've done something really special to kind of create awareness for cancer fights for other people and shown what it's like to have to deal with the real-world aspects. We get to talk about sports and act like they're serious, but the Gophers did a real supportive thing in the community with Josh Hansen and Team Impact over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and Andy, just a great story, and I encourage people to go to TwinCities.com and see Andy's piece about Josh. And it's one of those that you know, brings a tear to your eye because think about what this young man and his family went through and what the Gophers did to make him feel part of the team. It's just
so over the course,
really great.
Over the course of the last a couple of years, like you said, they made him a part of the team, gave him a lot of insider aspects and insider opportunities. He would go to practices, he would go to shoot around, he'd play ping pong with the guys, a couple of players on the team. Last year, including one, Eric Reeder, who's still on the team from the metro area, kind of brought him up from Rochester and went fishing with him. More things that kind of above and beyond to kind of create a connection with him. And unfortunately, I think the saddest part of the story is that Josh had fought through cancer over the last couple of years, wants to be a civil or environmental engineer, applied and got accepted to the University of Minnesota, and broke the news to the team that he was coming and joining them at the U. And then he had a relapse and wasn't able to enroll in the fall. And then, tragically passed away in January. So you see kind of a story arc here that, I'm kind of breaking up just listening to myself tell this. Because I've done a lot of these types of stories, and this one, I don't know, for some reason, just kind of the tragicness and how suddenly it turned and seeing the connection that they had with the Gophers, like you said, is pretty emotional.
That is a powerful piece, and I invite and encourage people to take the time to read it once again at TwinCities.com or pick up a copy of the paper. Andy, the season marches on, and beyond that, it becomes future of the program time. There's been talk of that, but there has to be that discussion in reality about this program and the direction it's headed.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's Ben Johnson's fourth year at his alma mater, and they almost got over the hump last year. You could see a real trajectory upward with them almost, I think they were 9-11 in Big Ten play and missed out on the NCAA tournament, but went to the NIT and won a game. And you could see some of the pieces, if they were to come back, of them taking a further step and making March Madness and showing an upward trajectory. Unfortunately, that hasn't worked out with the number of transfer portal exits and Cam Christie off to the NBA, like we talked about with what they've been able to replace him with. So then you wonder about what's the future like, right? Do they consider a coaching change? I think that's very much on the table. Ben Johnson has a $3 million buyout. If they fire him with 2 years left on his contract, if that comes in about March or April, that's what they have to pay him. I wonder if it's an opportunity for Mark Coyle to look in another direction and say, with revenue sharing coming on board, maybe there's something else that they want to see in leadership. I wonder if that's an opportunity for them. I know that money is tight with the Gophers. They do not have the type of financial resources that other schools have. That includes NIL money, but that includes foundational giving as well and boosters for the program to be able to cover buyouts and things like that. We see that in the salary pay of the assistants for the Gophers football program and what that does to that staff. So it's not an easy decision. $3 million, other people have scoffed at when it comes to the buyouts. In Minnesota, it's a little bit more seriously financial lift for them. So does that come into play? Do you give Ben a mulligan of sorts and be like, well, you didn't have the opportunities in the transfer portal with the NIL money? That's not really your fault. Do you give them another year based on that? I think those are all very open questions, and that especially happens after you lose at home to a team in Washington that you should win if you're trying to make a push to the middle of the Big Ten.
Yeah. Andy, we're tight on time. Always good to visit with you. I know you've got a lot of Loons coverage as they get ready for another season as well.
Yeah, they just added a young South Korean today. Announced his signing. He's a young central midfielder, and it'll be interesting to see how he is added to the mix because they've got holes there. Asani Dawson has requested a trade of all things in MLS, a trade request. So they might be losing a veteran midfielder, and they've got a young player coming in to reinforce that position going forward.
All right. Boy, it just seems like they're wrapped up, and here we go again. I know
it's one of the shortest off seasons, and that's what happens when you make the Western Conference semifinals and you go on a playoff run and international breaks and all the wonky stuff that goes into a soccer season. But yeah, it just feels like it just ended yesterday too.
All right, Andy, always good to visit with you. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
There he is, Andy Grittier of the Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Quick break. We'll come back. They're playing golf in the rain and wind at Pebble Beach. We'll check the leaderboard, a familiar name right at the top. We'll do that in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. All the news and weather at 5. The snow we did get is gone. It has moved off to the east into Wisconsin. And once again, according to radar at the moment, if you're in the Hinckley area, over toward Menominee and Eau Claire, you're probably seeing some snow. There's also a little spot up by St. Cloud, between St. Cloud and Alexandria. But for the most part, the snow in the greater Twin Cities metro area has moved on. But we are not done. Looks like we could see 1 to 3 overnight Sunday into Monday morning, making the Monday morning commute problematic, to say the very least. And, of course, we'll have you covered here on CCO. They are playing golf in Pebble Beach, and it's kind of a mixed bag when the PGA Tour stops at Pebble Beach and the Monterey Peninsula out in California. Some days, sunny, gorgeous. And then other days, rainy and windy. Well, today was rainy and windy. And Rory McIlroy is now atop the leaderboard. He is sitting at 15 under par through three rounds of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And this is one of those limited field events where they raise the money and they have a smaller field. Shane Lowry joined him at 15 under par. So it's Rory and Shane at minus 15. Tom Kim, Sepp Straka at a 14 under par. Lucas Glover, along with Justin Rose, at 13 under par. Scottie Scheffler made his PGA Tour debut. I don't know if you heard about it, but the world number one cut his hand over the holidays. Now, here's a golfer, the number one golfer in the world. I don't know what he was doing, but he cut his hand, and he's playing this week at Pebble Beach. Not contending, however. All right, we got to run news, weather, and then we'll talk wild hockey with Sarah McClellan right here. News Talk, 830-WCCO.